Have you thought about God's heart lately in your ministry? God's whole thought for us is expansion. God is in the big thinking business. Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, says that if you took a hard look at this motley crew of 13 men standing in Jesus' presence, hearing these words, you would laugh yourself silly. These losers are supposed to change and invade the entire world. Ludicrous. Yes. Was he serious? Absolutely. He also believes we are to continue that dream by reaching one more for Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 3 as we see how far we should go to reach one more for Jesus.
Father, open your word and open our hearts. Lord, we want to see Jesus more than anything else. Father, we're very aware that we could put on our own agenda and we could put on our own glasses and we could see our own way and hear our own thoughts, and that would be absolutely disastrous. So teach us today. Father, show us from your word. Father, continue to pray for John. Lord, pray that we'd hear good news this week and that he would finally get this position. Lord, we thank you for your love and your goodness, and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Solomon said a long time ago, would you read it with me, please? Off the screen, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Wow, what a statement. About a month ago, I introduced this series we're doing on Reach One More for Jesus. I talked about how important it is for you and I to do the will of God and how to be involved in reaching out to men and women around us, our family, our friends, and yes, even our foes, and telling them about Christ. Rod was over, we were having coffee this week, and I introduced him to a couple of the people at Starbucks that I've been witnessing to, and Johnny's interested in coming to worship, and if he can just get his schedule to work, he's going to be here, and he doesn't know Christ. You know, talked about that Great Commission, and we talked about the fact that the will of God is more important than our continued existence. For the disciple of Jesus Christ, you and I are passionate about Christ's will. We want to do the heart of God. We're really into this thing about reaching our friends and family for Christ. 3 weeks ago, we talked about it, and we tried to answer the question, how are we going to do this? How are we going to reach another person for Christ? And we said that with God, nothing is impossible. You and I know that God can change a heart. You can't change a heart. I can't change a heart. Trust me, if you've ever had a child, you know you can't change a heart. In fact, the more you try, the worse it gets. But God can change a heart. You remember 2 weeks ago that I washed the feet of four disciples as we were talking about the attitude that you and I have to have. The attitude that you and I have to have if we are going to reach one more for Jesus is we've got to reach down and we've got to clean up the yucky messes that are in the lives of people. And it isn't always pretty and it isn't always fun, but you and I have to be willing to do that. Then last week we talked about the fact that we have to forgive others just like Jesus forgives us. We have to forgive others just like Jesus forgives us. And all of that is to bring us to this place where we are today. And the question that I want to ask you today is, have you thought about God's heart lately? Have you been paying attention to what's on the heart of God lately? When you have a child, I have a child that's not doing well, what's on our heart? Their well-being. You and I are constantly seeking the well-being of our children. God has children that are not doing well right now. Lost children. And God's heart is broken. When our daughter decided to go off and do her own thing, to walk into her own way and to rebel against Christ, on our heart, day and night, day and night, day and night. And Jesus was trying to explain this when he was talking to us in Matthew chapter 28. He was trying to explain the heart of God, and he was trying to talk about all those lost people around us. And this is what he said. Would you read it with me, please? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We know that as the Great Commission. Jesus wants us to reach out, to reach one more for Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told him just moments before he ascended to heaven this. Would you read it with me, please? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Here you are. You're a Galilean fisherman. You don't have a lot of education. And Jesus has just told you, go global. Think bigger than your little teeny friendships, your little teeny family, your little teeny town, your little teeny club. Think global. Thank God for the internet, where we can do this without traveling a lot of times, where we can reach out and witness to people through the net. But God, Jesus wasn't talking about the net. He was talking about going. Wherever you go, wherever you go, wherever you go, start where you are, and wherever you find yourself, be a witness. Now, a lot of people want to leave that, Phil, as my job. On that side of the lectern, that's pastor's job, and we'll just come and sit. Okay? And today I want to tell you, if that's your mentality, you're probably not in Christianity, you're in la-la land. Okay, I just want to be honest with you. Because Jesus didn't give this to you, or excuse me, Jesus didn't give this to the ordained. He gave this to fishermen and bookkeepers and terrorists. And he said, just do what I tell you to do. Go get my lost children. Now, does anybody know anybody who isn't going to heaven? Anybody know anybody? Okay, there's your list. Okay. There's your list. There's my list. And I keep thinking about that list. And I keep going over that list. And I keep saying, how am I going to do that? How far do I go? How far do I reach? And today's text is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Would you read them with me, please? We're going to read them several times today. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Circle two words there, if you would, please, in your notes. The words in us. You see, God doesn't work until you work. This is a redundant theme. God doesn't work until I work. This is a redundant theme all the way through the Scriptures, best known in James chapter 4, where he says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. God doesn't work until you. Now, God is always working. Don't misunderstand me. But if you want to see something happen in your life, you and I, we have to step forward for God. We have to stop waiting for God, because if you're going to wait for God, He lives longer than you do. You'll die, you'll be buried, you'll be dust, and He'll still be waiting for you. Okay? That's not how it works. And so these 13 men standing with Jesus there, looking up into heaven, are wondering, did he really mean go global? And there's a whole bunch of people who will tell you, no, that's not what he meant. What he meant was the people in your own little sphere. And I've got two words for that. No way. He meant go global. He meant everywhere you go. And if you start doing this right, you will go a lot more places than you have been. Because when he finds someone who wants to do his will, he just starts favoring them with places to go. He'll tell you, he'll show you. Now listen. The future of this church is basically down to, the future of any church is down to two different ways of thinking. Two very simple ways of thinking. If you look at that passage that we were in, did you notice that God is able? God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. Well, there's two ways to go. You can believe that, I can believe that, or I can ignore that, or I can disbelieve that. So think about it for a minute. What do you believe? Now, don't tell me what you believe. Because Jesus isn't into talk. Your knowing isn't growing until your knowing is showing. So there's two different ways to do this. Let's talk about the first one very briefly. Okay, the first one is small thinking, godless thinking. Godless thinking. Godless thinking is always about controlling other people. Godless thinking isn't about taking any responsibility myself. It's all about I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to be responsible for, you know, when I think about responsibility, I'm going to be responsible for you. Okay. I'm going to be responsible for you. And I'm going to tell you how you should live your spiritual life. I'm going to tell you how to live your life in general. You know moms that do this, right? Right, moms, your kid's 60 and you know, you're 80 and you're still telling them, no, you're never going to amount to anything if you don't. You know, they're 65. And give me a break. Come on. It's too late. They're in retirement. Okay? Controlling people. Controlling people. This is what small people, if they take any responsibility at all, they take it for you. Not for themselves. And always at the core of small thinking is this idea of I'm going to control. I'm going to control. I've been pastoring for 35 years. I have watched this time and 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 time again. I've watched it in individuals. I've watched it in families. I've watched it in businesses. I've watched it in education. I've watched it in the church. And every time some little godless thinker gets in a position of power, the first thing they want to do is create a whole bunch of rules for you, not for themselves. That's godless thinking. I want to control someone else. Now, you know these people because this is what they look like. They're the big angry frog in the little pond. You know, they're just working on this whole idea of distrust. And this is how they look, okay? I don't want you to look at somebody like that. Look, there's your portrait on the... No, I don't want... No. Okay, just look at that big angry frog. And there's a real simple word for this person. Okay? This big frog, little pond syndrome. And it's sin. This person here thinks that, well, if it's going to be, it has to fly through me. I'm in charge. Now, Jesus was adamantly opposed to me running your life or you're running my life. Adamantly opposed to that. And this is what he said. Would you read it with me, please? Matthew, here again. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Look down at people. I'm in charge. I actually had one person say, you do know I'm the chairman of this committee. And I said, you do know you don't know anything. And that didn't go over well, I want to tell you. But okay, read it with me. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Yesterday we were at Kamikaze, and it was a whole bunch of superhero kind of things and a convention for them. And we were at a panel where they were discussing how they were making a show, a TV show. And one of the writer-producers said, we look for the greatest idea. We don't care if it comes from the guy who's serving the sandwiches or the director. We want the best idea. Yes, that's exactly the way it is. We don't want to be, well, you know, I'm the director around here and shut up. Okay, that doesn't work. And whoever desires to be first among you, what did Jesus say? Let him be your slave. That's an attitude I take upon myself. That's an attitude you take on yourself. If we want to be first in the kingdom of God, we have to become a slave. And then he wraps up chapter 20, verses 25 through 28 by saying, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now I want to take this last phrase in verse 28, and I just want to ask you a question. Why do you come to Pacific? Which one of these two do you come for? Serve me, Pastor? Or I'm here to serve Jesus? That's the bottom line. A lot of churches are filled with baby diapers. You know, crying babies. But we're not trying to build a baby diaper church. We're trying to build a church full of men and women of God who reach out to their friends and their family. That's what we're trying to do. Watch out for small thinking. Small thinking always comes in this problem of where we simply think, serve me, serve me, serve me, serve me. Now here's Ephesians 3 again. Read it with me. One more time. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or imagine even, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church. How? By Messiah Jesus to all generations forever and ever and ever. You see, these words are big words, aren't they? God is able. Don't you love that song? God is able. We sing it. We sing it. God is able. And then we turn around and we charge it. Because God isn't able. And we sing the song, God is able. God is able. God is able. And then we ignore him when we're in trouble. We don't even pray. Been there? Anybody? Anybody with me? Anybody? Yeah, I've done this. What's wrong with us? He's able. You see, this God-sized thinking is about releasing us, releasing the power of God in us. It's about letting you and I really serve this amazing God, really reach out. It's our job to do the mission. Imagine again, I'm thinking here, as I'm looking at this releasing people, I'm thinking of these guys, and they're all sitting there going, global? Global? I'm a fisherman from, don't you know? I'm up in the Galilee. Oh, yeah, a few people in town respect me, but, you know, you get me out of Galilee into Nazareth, nobody knows me. What do you mean go global? And I'm quite sure I don't know anybody in Syria. Global? Listen, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into your heart what God wants to do with you. But you have to step across a line. You have to say, God, I know you're able, so I'm going to trust you when you tell me what to do. God, I know you're able, so I'm going to obey you no matter what you tell me to do. God, you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or imagine, but I have to show you by faith that I am serious. Now, in the process of this, there is a huge issue. There is a huge issue. Would you just read this simple line from our brother John the Baptizer? There is a huge issue here. If we're going to do the will of God and we're going to enjoy the will of God and we're going to enjoy the work that God flows through us, there's a simple truth that has to become part of our DNA. And that is, we must... No, that doesn't say we. I got you to read it just the way I wanted you to. That's the way we read it. We must increase, he must decrease. That's how we read it. But that's not what it says. What does it say? He must increase. I must decrease. You see, when you're doing that, there has to be more of Jesus in your life and less of me in my life. How much time do you give Jesus and how much time do you give yourself? John's saying, that's got to change. There's got to be more of the mission of God and less of my agenda for God. We were at Kamikaze yesterday. Took a day and just had a fun day. But I was walking around that place thinking about the lost people. I was praying for lost people yesterday, trying to see them with Jesus' eyes. You see, when he must increase, there has to be more of the heart of Jesus. And there has to be less of my personal desires. Now, there's a whole bunch of this. And I just want to show you 8 ways this becomes real. Just 8 ways this becomes real. When large thinking takes over a person, their focus and their methods change. They aren't like they used to be. Small thinkers aren't doing anything of significance. They don't pray anything of significance. And so all the time, their world is pretty much insignificant. I have a lady on my Facebook, and I love her dearly. I mean, she loves the Lord. But yesterday morning was one of her typical posts. She said, well, I got up and washed my hair and took a shower. Listen, if a shower and washing your hair is noteworthy, you don't have a life for Jesus. You see, when people have God-like thinking, their focus is on the whim and will of God, so they got to check in. What do you want me to do today? I had a friend who said, well, I can have my devotions in the evening. I said, yeah, you can have your devotions anytime. When do you pray? Well, I pray in the evening during my devotions. I said, great, now you just missed a whole day of finding out what God wanted you to do. Oh, I didn't think of it that way. Imagine if you went into work about time it was time to quit. It doesn't work that way. Check in with the boss. You see, when we're on the mission of God, when I'm on the mission of God, my money and my time and my energy pours into take one more for Jesus. So I give sacrificially to the finances of this church because this is where God told me to pour my money into Him to supply the needs of people who need to come to Christ. I give sacrificially of my time to serve. Even while I was at Kamikaze, I was answering emails, sending texts. It's my day. Even on date day, I do this. Okay, why? Because this is the mission of God. This is the mission of God. Sacrifice my time to disciple people and people who understand these things. They give of their finances sacrificially. They give of their time sacrificially. They are discipled. They sacrifice to be disciples so they can disciple others. Why? Because that's the command and will and whim of God. And God will do amazing things when we obey Him. And when we don't, well, I washed my hair and took a shower today. It's going to be about the wrap of your life and my life. And I don't want that. I don't want the guy who's doing my funeral to get up and say, well, I got nothing to say about this guy. Do you know how many times I've done that? I've had to get up and scramble for a week to figure out what to say about the person in the casket because, quite frankly, nothing was done of any value. I was at one funeral, I told Melody, I was at one funeral, and I said to the family, well, tell me about his life. Well, he religiously drank. And quite frankly, folks, that was it. That's what they had. Oh, that was a mess. That was a mess. Now remember what we're saying. Again, read Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 with me. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? According to the power that works in us. You, turn to somebody, point to them. You, talking about you. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I said there's eight things I wanted to talk about. These large thinkers. Second, large thinkers are so passionately immersed in doing their best for God. You know, these passionate thinkers, they're constantly talking about their ministry and what they can do better, who they're trying to reach, and what has to happen and how their hearts have to unlock. They're talking about the time they're praying. They're talking about the time they're investing in that person's life. They're talking about the people they're discipling. They're just focused on how can I do this better? And they bring people to worship on Sundays. Because they know that you can't be a Christ follower apart from the family of God. We disciple in a small group. We worship with the big group. Just like Jesus told us to. And so those are these large thinkers. They're so passionate. They're constantly wanting to do it better and better and better. I want to get this person to walk better with Christ. I was out with Jose a couple weeks ago, and we were having coffee over at Starbucks at my favorite place, and since he lives nearby. And we were just sitting down, and I was just talking. How can we live life better? How can we do Christ better? How can we reach people better? How can we disciple people better? What's the focus of my life? How can I see it better? Because that's the passion of large thinkers. You see, large thinkers, they really understand this verse, and we're going to keep saying it until you start to get it. Would you say it with me again? Now to Him who is able. Do you believe that? So you got to believe that. You got to step across the line. What you know in your heart isn't what you believe. What you do with your life, what I do with my life, is what's true. And so now to Him who is able what? To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ask or think by the power that works in us. How? How? To Him be glory in the church. See that? Circle the phrase in the church. By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. When you start to get this, when I start to get this, large thinkers allow people the trust they deserve. Why? Because they believe God is working. God is working. Do you believe God is working? See, if you believe God is working, you trust people. When you start discipling people, you realize they're clueless. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't got it all together. You trust them anyway. Because at least they're discipling. At least they're doing the job. What do you need? Whenever you're doing something, which would you rather have? 10 supervisors or one not so good helper? I'd rather have one not so good helper and fire the 10 supervisors. I don't know where you come from, but that's the way I am. Okay? You see, and you say things like this. God is working in your life. I can see the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You say things like, your life is changing and transformation is happening because it's becoming visible. I can see this. And you get specific about how that happens. You say, God has a plan for your life. I don't know what that is, but He's brought me alongside of you to help you figure it out. Here I am. I'm with you in this journey. You say, God sent me here to help guide you. I don't know what the path is, but I'm going to ask all the questions. Some of them you aren't going to like. Because I want you to think about what God's up to. Why? Because God is able, say it with me, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. How? By the power that works in us. If I'm not discipling, there's not much power. Listen, I just want to be blunt with you. If you're not discipling or being discipled, there's not much power running in you. You're like a 12-watt light bulb. We had to make sure that all of our exit lights were working here. And I was down there looking for light bulbs, okay? I was looking for light bulbs, and I had a 4-watt and a 7-watt and a 12-watt. And I was thinking, these remind me of people. Dull, and duller. I mean, where's the brightness? The light of Jesus Christ shines through us when we disciple, when we are being discipled. Go make disciples. And it's done so that there's glory in the church. You know the word glory? Just circle the word glory in these two verses. The word glory in these verses means the shining brightness of His excellence. I am the light of the world. Where do you get it from? When you're doing the will of God. It's not what you believe that matters. It's what you actually do. What I actually do is what I believe is what I do. That's all it is. I only believe the parts of the Bible that I do. Let me encourage you just to take a moment and say to yourself, maybe I need to make a choice. Maybe I need to be discipled. Just make a little check mark on the back of your response card right now. Take it out. Maybe I need to disciple someone. Maybe I need to be discipled. Let's keep going. I said there are 8 of them. I'm at the 4. Large thinkers explore training. They explore training. And they're seeking how they can grow so that they can minister more effectively to others. You see, God thinkers are never content with what they know. There's a word for people who are content with what they know. Arrogant, proud, worthless. All of those words are words. I've run into them in education. You get to a place where there's a guy who's got so many PhDs, you can't tell him anything. And when he teaches, he's awful because he hasn't learned anything new. This morning as you were reading with me, you probably picked up 2 or 3 new lines out of the book of John. I was fascinated as I was reading because I caught this one. It was in Luke chapter 6, verse 57. I'm reading along and it just says, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me lives because of me." And he's talking about eating his bread, eating his body like the bread, and eating, drinking his blood as the cup. And he's talking about that. But he says this little phrase: "And I live because of the Father." Question: why do you live? What's your source? Your job? Your family? Listen, those are idols. Those aren't the reasons you live. If that's why you live, that's not Christianity. That's idolatry. I don't live because of my family. I live because of Christ. I can't do anything good for my family if I'm not living for Christ. You see, these people, these God thinkers, they take opportunity. When the pastor says, "Read your Bible with me cover to cover," the more you know the Word, the more you know God, and the more you know God, the more effective you can be. And they say, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to read the Word." Large thinkers, God-sized thinkers do that. When the church offers Financial Peace University, God-sized thinkers say, "I need to get my financial house in order so I can do greater things for God. Because God can't use me when I'm broke and when I'm in debt. He just can't do it. I can't minister to people effectively. I can't get to where they are. I can't meet their need. I can't take care of them because I've got no money." When the offer of discipleship comes up, these God-like thinkers say, "I need to follow the command of Jesus. I need to get discipled so I can disciple someone." You see, it's not enough to lead someone to Jesus. We've got to disciple people so that they will reproduce. I told you yesterday we were at Comic-Con and took this picture of the rest of them. And we were at Comic-Con. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the LA Convention Center. And I'm walking through this place. And you know, it's a lot of fun. And I'm a Marvel hero guy. And so, you know, Captain America and Spider-Man, those are kind of my things, you know. And so I'm kind of going through there and I'm having a fun time. And I'm just weeping, though, as I realize that some of these people, this is their life. We sit in a panel and I'm listening to people who, like, they do the story like we do the Bible. This is their life. And I began in my soul to get grieved. And I began to pray, "God, so many lost people." And I began to think, "Lord, if I just had some money, I could target and begin to target these people for Christ. Lord, let me think about that. How can that happen?" And I began to pray about that. And as I walked, I was thinking, "Lord, the people in our congregation, do they walk around? Do they think about the lost people around them?" And I cried out to the Lord. And last night when I was praying in the night watches, I wondered who would join me. Who would say, "I'll sacrifice my time. I'll read the Word of God. I'll because I want to know God better so I can be more effective." And I wondered who would sacrifice that top 10% of their cash income and give it to Pacific so that the church could do more things for Christ. And I wondered who would take up the cause to be discipled. And if you've been discipled, to disciple others. Or if you haven't yet, so you can disciple others. And I wondered, who would do that? And who would just take out a response card right now and say, "Pastor, I'll do that." So I'm going to challenge you right now. Right now, take out a response card and tell me what you're willing to do. right now. I'm going to wait on you. You say, well, you got some more points, Pastor. Yes, I do. And it's pointless to tell you any more if you're unwilling to do what I've already asked you to do. It's just pointless. It's a waste of my breath. It's a waste of why we come here. It's a waste. It's a dishonor to Christ, to who's offered you all this and so much more, not to take him up on it. So take that response card out. I'm going to wait for you. You see, we're talking about this very simple truth. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ask or think. How? By the power that works in us. But we have to do the work. God doesn't do it for us. God does it through us. And so large thinkers explore the can-do attitude of this, for with God, nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. This is what people who know Christ believe. I can do this. Well, I can't do this, but Christ in me can do this. He's the hope of my glory and the hope of his own glory. And so we trust his word. Do you remember Abraham? I've talked about Abraham. Abraham's got my attention right now. Chapter 4 of the book of Romans. You remember Abraham? He's an old man and he's impotent. He's got an old woman for a wife and she's gone through menopause a long time ago. You know, and their idea of affection is, hi honey, I love you. And that's about it. Occasionally they might hold a hand, but that's it. And then along comes God. And God says, you know what? The two of you are going to have a son this time next year. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. See, when your faith grows stronger, you bring glory to God. How? He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him righteousness. You know what he did, right? He grabbed a hold of his wife and he said, come on, honey, get into my tent. And that night, for the first time in decades, there was some sex. And you know what happened? God brought a son. Now listen, you don't get a son by believing. You get a son by believing and doing. And that's what this Bible says. When you believe, you act. And God counts it as right. And he moves on. And he's the one who changes your life. So there was eight of these. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Read it with me. Exceedingly abundantly. One more time. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. How many of you got a good imagination? Hey, listen, I'm a Star Trek guy. I got a great imagination. I love the battle for Manhattan with the Avengers. I've got a great imagination. But let me tell you, my imagination is about a pipsqueak when it comes to what God's imagination is. You can't believe what God can do for you if you will step across the line and trust him. And so large thinkers ask a simple question, is God in this? Is God in this? Now, this comes out real simple. Would God be opposed to me reading the Bible cover to cover each year? Is God in reading his own word? Yes. Would God be opposed to you getting me getting my financial house in order? Yes or no? No, he wouldn't be opposed to it. Since Jesus commanded it, would God be opposed to you being discipled with a spiritual mentor here at the church? No. So let me encourage you just to mark your response card. You could mark it, read. I'm going to read the Word of God, cover to cover. You could mark your response card. I'm going to register for the February Financial Peace University. You could mark your response card. I want to be discipled. Just step across the line. Now, remember we said there's eight of them. One more, two more here. Remember what it says. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, how? According to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. In other words, large thinkers are going to look to the harvest. They're always thinking bigger. How many more people can I reach? How many more people can I talk to? How many more people can I touch? One of the reasons that I teach at the school that I do on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday nights is so that I can touch 20, 30 churches. So I can reach hundreds of people through discipling people in that venue. Let me encourage you to think about how big is your vision. How many people do you want to see? You remember God sent Jonah simply because there was 120,000 children in the city of Nineveh. He just wanted people to understand they were in spiritual darkness. And he was so hungry to see them come to Christ. We've created this 11 for heaven. I've been using the 11 for heaven. And we've just been using it and praying for these people. And I've been fascinated how lives are turning towards Christ. And people are listening to what I'm saying about Christ. Let me encourage you on the way out to ask an usher for an 11 for heaven. You see, when somebody's focused on the harvest, they weep because people they know aren't saved. They pray for them by name, their lost family, their lost friends, their lost foes even. They pray for them. They make a list. And unlike Santa, they check it every day and they pray over it and they ask God to move. And when nothing's happening, they start to cut out meals and they begin to fast. For the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've been fasting so that the people that I know come to faith in Jesus Christ. So that you have a burden for the people in your hearts and your lives to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I said there were 8 of them. The last one is this one. And it comes out again. Let's read it one more time together. Ephesians 3. Would you read it with me, please? Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, large thinkers want to release resources for the work of the ministry. I'm always reminded of Daffy Duck. He got shrunk in a cartoon once. And you know Daffy, he's greedy. And there's this small pebble of gold, but now Daffy's real small. And he sees this small pebble of gold, and he runs up and he grabs it, and he goes, "It's mine! It's mine! It's all mine!" And Jesus said, people like that go to hell because they're daffy. You remember what he said to the rich man when he said, sell all you have because it was an idol? Give it to the poor, you'll have a treasure in heaven, come follow me. And the man walked away, what? Sad, because he had a lot. And Jesus turned to the crowd and he said, you see how hard it is for rich people to get in the kingdom of heaven? Now, God doesn't call everybody to give away everything. What he calls us to give away is our selfishness, our small thinking. The fact that if I give this away, God can't. He's not able. But we read 8, 9 times today. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so we have to change the climate in our lives. We have to remember that small thinkers bring in the chilling waves and winds of cold hearts. And if we're going to change things, we have to get along with God, because large thinkers release life. I've been praying and fasting for months. You remember we started in January by fasting. And God has been blessing at the Smith House. But God has been blessing here as well. And just in the last few weeks, we've watched God do some amazing things in September and October. 5 people renewed their commitment to King Jesus in those 8 weeks. Okay, now we're not a big place, right? Do you notice that? 5 people. 5 people are interested in discovering God's purpose for their lives. We're following those people up. 4 people have asked to be spiritually mentored, to be discipled. In this 8-week, 9-week period, we've got 2 people who've registered for Financial Peace, and they didn't even know when it was going to start yet. Okay, I told you today it's going to start in February. And 2 people have been baptized, and one, we have a new family attending, and we got 3 new 20-something guys attending here. All of that just in the last 8 weeks. I shared that on my Facebook, and my pastor friend from Northern California, who's the executive pastor of a very large church, he said, quote, he said, some would call what's happening through your ministry revival, like the days when Jesus and John the Baptist were here on earth. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You know, God will match us every time we step across the line. God will match us every time we step across the line, as long as we don't violate another one of His principles. The whole issue comes down to surrender. Am I willing to surrender to the house of God? Am I willing to surrender, to the voice of God? Am I willing to surrender to God? Now, God wants to bless so abundantly. Let me just share with you one set of verses, because I've talked about this whole issue of money, and Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Let's just look at the promise that he gives us. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of the angel armies, I'll open the windows of heaven for you. Now, I like that. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, when God gives you cash, do you give him 10%? Do you give him just give him the top 10% when God gives you cash? That's all he's asking. He gives you cash, you hand him 10%. That's all he asks. And God blesses. And God blesses. And God blesses. And God blesses. For the regulars here, let me just say a word. We're running behind right now. We've been running behind for a long time in the finances. We've got a gap. And the gap is dwindling our resources. And we're running somewhere around $400 or $500 a month in the gap behind right now. And I'm just wondering, are there a few people who are willing to step up and fill the gap each month? Give your 10% off your cash that God's giving to you. If you do that, just write the word gap. Don't you like that? Instead of buying the jeans, just drop it in the plate. Okay? Just write the word gap on your response card. I'll let the deacons know. You see, the whole idea is, will I step across a line? Will I step across the line of small thinking? Will I enter into the realm of God-sized thinking? And if I will, it's not what I know. It's what I show. It's not what I believe. It's what I do. And God then meets me there. God meets you there. And he wants to meet you there because he wants to pour out upon you from the windows of heaven all that he has for you in so many different dimensions. You see, big thinking reveals someone who has come to know God personally and intimately. They trust him because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. How? According to the power that works in us. That's the Spirit of God working in us. And if I will step across the line and stop being like Daffy Duck. I always thought they named him the right thing, didn't you? Daffy, okay? That's not my role model. God will bless. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we live in exciting times. People all around us need Jesus. And as we pray for our 11 for heaven list, we ask you to turn the hearts of those on it and change their lives. Give them openings so that we can tell them about you. Father God, cause them to listen to the words we talk about. Lord, cause us to be large thinkers, men and women who think God-sized thoughts. Expand our vision as we open your word each day. Help us to see that you have called Pacific to make disciples of all the ethnicities of the world, starting in the South Bay and South LA. Cause us to long to be obedient to witness to the ends of the earth. Help us start right here, right where we are, in our own families, in our own neighborhoods. And Father, let us expand from there. And help us place our heart in the mission of Jesus here in Pacific. Give us generous hearts. We know that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is also. Help us to show our love for you financially as well as physically. Lord, for the name and the fame of Jesus, allow us to forgive so we can reach one more for Jesus. Allow us to give so we can reach one more for Jesus. Allow us to be like Jesus so we can reach one more just like Jesus. We pray all this in his name, and all God's people said, amen and amen.
And with that prayer seeking a heart of mission, Dr. Smith reminds us to focus our hearts and prayers on our family, friends, and foes so we can reach one more for Jesus. Perhaps you would consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith. Thank you. If you would like to explore how you can be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ, Dr. Smith has written a book to take you to that next level. Growing Missional Leaders is a practical, passionate, biblical mentoring journey for individuals, small groups, leadership teams, and congregations who desire to win their world for Christ. Readers will appreciate the enthusiastic and spirit-filled hope God provides as Matthew tells stories of lost opportunities and successes with friends that give powerful encouragement of personal and corporate outreach. opens Bible passages again and again, showing God's heart to bring his lost children home, and providing stimulating discussion questions at the end of each chapter, providing the stepping stones to launching fresh ministry into your community. Believers hungering to reach their world for Christ will be energized by this passionate call to fulfill Christ's gospel and the invigorating manner in which their thought processes will be stretched to God-sized proportions. You can order a copy of Growing Missional Leaders at the Eagles in Leadership website simply by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in El Segundo, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Los Angeles, California. And now until next time, this is Mike Powers reminding you that we are praying you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.